All right, does anybody know which book we're on today? Philip knows. Haggai. Does anybody know what number book it is? 37. Does anybody know how many prophecies are in Haggai? There are four. It's a very small book, and there's four prophecies. So rather than jump a little bit here and a little bit there and a little bit somewhere else, I'm going to read it. It's only one page. Now, remember that the prophecies of Haggai are dated in the second year of Darius Hystaspes, BC 520. That's 17 years after the return of some of the Jews from Babylonia. And it was the first year of Cyrus. So God told this heathen king. God told this heathen king to release his people. And he obeyed. There were several waves of these exiles returning to the homeland. And some of them, in fact, decided not to return because they'd come to regard their land of exile as their home. They built houses, had families. Why would they go to another strange land? So there's a whole hodgepodge of people returning and some people staying. But the main message in Haggai was that God was with them. And he tells them this very, very clearly. So let me read this for us all. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Thus says the Lord of hosts, these people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. Then the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet. Is it a time for you yourselves to dwell in your panelled houses while this house lies in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages does so to put them into a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the hills and bring wood and build the house, that I may take pleasure in it and that I may be glorified, says the Lord. Sorry. You looked for much, and behold, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why? Declares the Lord of hosts. Because of my house that lies in ruins, while each of you busies himself with his own house. Therefore the heavens above you have withheld the dew, and the earth has withheld its produce. And I have called for a drought on the land and hills, on the grain, the new wine, the oil, on what the grain brings forth, on man and beast, and on all their labours. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the word and voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people feared the Lord. Then Haggai, the messenger of the Lord, spoke to the people with the Lord's message. I am with you, declares the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, on the 24th day of the month, in the sixth month, in the second year of Darius the king. In the seventh month, on the 21st day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet. Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to all the remnant of the people, and say, who is left among you who saw this house in its former glory? How do you see it now? Is it not as nothing in your eyes? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord. Work, for I am with you, declares the Lord of hosts, according to the covenant that I made with you when you came out of Egypt. My spirit remains in your midst, fear not. For thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once more, in a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, so that the treasures of all nations shall come in, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, declares the Lord of hosts. On the 24th day of the ninth month, in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet. Thus says the Lord of hosts, ask the priests about the law. If someone carries holy meat in the fold of his garment and touches with his fold bread or stew or wine or oil or any kind of food, does it become holy? The priests answered and said, no. Then Haggai said, if someone who is unclean by contact with a dead body touches any of these, does it become unclean? The priests answered and said, it does become unclean. Then Haggai answered and said, so is it with this people and with this nation before me, declares the Lord, and so with every work of their hands, and what they offer there is unclean. Now then, consider from this day onward, before stone was placed upon stone in the temple of the Lord, how did you fare? When one came to a heap of 20 measures, there were but 10. When one came to the wine vat to draw 50 measures, there were but 20. I struck you and all the products of your toil with blight and with mildew and with hail. Yet you did not turn to me, declares the Lord. Consider from this day onward, from the 24th day of the ninth month, since the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider, is the seed yet in the barn? Indeed, the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, and the olive tree have yielded nothing. But from this day on I will bless you. The word of the Lord came a second time to Haggai on the 24th day of the month. Speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I am about to shake the heavens and the earth and to overthrow the throne of kingdoms. I am about to destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the nations and overflow the chariots and their riders. And the horses and the riders shall go down, every one by the sword of his brother. On that day, declares the Lord of hosts, I will take you, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, declares the Lord, and make you like a signet ring, for I have chosen you, declares the Lord of hosts. So we have four times that Haggai has been told to prophesy. And the Lord has made it clear that he is with us. Now, I'm sure we all remember the first four words in the Bible. In the beginning, God. Now, that's a long way from Haggai. But at that time, Adam and Eve walked in the garden with God. In the Garden of Eden, which was a very happy fellowshipy place. So they walked with God in happy fellowship and harmony. However, following the fall into sin, that relationship was broken. God withdrew. We're told in Genesis chapter 3, "Then the Lord God said, 'Behold, the man has become like one of us in knowing good and evil. No lest he reach out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever.' Therefore the Lord God sent him out from the Garden of Eden to work the grain from which he was taken. He drove out the man, and at the east of the Garden of Eden he placed the cherubim and a flaming sword that turned every day and every way to guard the way to the tree of life. So Adam and Eve and their children were left to wander. Do we think they were happy with their new situation? Probably not. In fact, definitely not. Was God happy with his new situation? Nope. Just imagine having been in the presence of God and then being cast out. Well, after that, the rest of the Bible is a story of God restoring mankind to himself, remaking this relationship. So God went to restore mankind to himself by his own grace and initiative so that he would renew his presence with them. In the Old Testament, God did this renewing through the tabernacle and then the temple. In effect, the tabernacle was a miniature Eden. Exodus 26 tells us that it had a blue roof. So the tabernacle had almost a sky. And Exodus 25 tells us that there was a multi-armed lampstand that looked like a flourishing tree. Perhaps this was to represent the tree of life in the Garden of Eden. Anyway, after carrying the tabernacle around with them throughout their wilderness wanderings, and that was a very long time, Israel finally entered the promised land and under Solomon built a temple, because we were told David wasn't allowed to build a temple. So Solomon did it. The temple, like the tabernacle, was God's house. This is Haggai chapter 1, verse 9. It was where he dwelt, where fellowship with his people, once fractured, could be restored. So although Adam and Eve had been cast out from the garden, through the tabernacle, they were carrying this meeting place wherever they went. And then Solomon built this beautiful temple. And I imagine they would have had their hearts filled with joy at the time. Well, as we all know, Solomon built this beautiful, sumptuous temple to God. But he had so many wives and concubines, he fell out of favour by following the gods of his ladies. And due to Israel's faithlessness, God allowed foreign armies to conquer them. They destroyed this lovely temple. And of course, to ancient Jews, the destruction of the temple was the same as if their relationship with the Lord had ended. For it was through the temple and its priesthood that this relationship was maintained. We know that following this destruction, the people were carried off into exile. But as prophesied by Isaiah in his chapter 44, the Persian king Cyrus had sent the exiles, led by Zerubbabel, back to Jerusalem in BC 538. Persia, if you remember this, I don't because I didn't like history, but Persia had defeated Babylon in 539. It was 17 years after this that the prophecies of Haggai are dated. During this time, there were many crop failures, and the spirit of the people was one of bitter disenchantment. The people were disheartened, and they concluded that the wrath of God was not yet removed from them. We heard that. Was that Zechariah last week? Anyway, Zechariah chapter 1. And that the time had not yet come for Yahweh's house to be built. That was Haggai. As always, it's easy to blame something else or someone else for your difficulties. So after 17 years of inaction, other than to look after their own houses, as far as the temple was concerned, nothing had progressed. So Haggai stirs the people into action. Now, as I said, there were four related prophecies, all belonging to the second year of Darius. The first one was when on the first day of the sixth month, Haggai appealed publicly to the people so that they would no longer postpone the work of rebuilding the temple. Their neglect was not due to want of means, for some at any rate had built panelled houses for themselves, rather lovely, luxurious dwellings. And of course, all this had been followed by failures of crops and drought, all indicative of the divine displeasure. So if they would regain Yahweh's favour, they need to go fetch timber from the mountains and begin the work of restoration. His words produced such an effect upon those who heard them that on the 24th of the same month, the people headed by Zerubbabel and the high priest began to work. So the first prophecy encouraged them to go get materials and get stuck in. Stop blaming everything else. The second prophecy was in chapter 2. On the 21st day of the seventh month, the prophet addresses words of encouragement to those who felt disheartened. They felt disheartened when they looked at the ruins of the temple. I guess they felt powerless. How can we do this? The future glory of the temple, Haggai declared, will exceed its former glory. For soon a great shaking of all things will take place. The Messianic age will be established and the temple will be beautified by the offerings of the Gentiles. The third prophecy is also from chapter 2. On the 24th day of the ninth month, Haggai, in order further to impress upon the people the importance of getting on with the work, teaches them by means of a kind of parable that so long as it remains unbuilt, a taint of guilt clings to everything that they do. Almost, you can almost imagine it, can't you? Something goes wrong. Oh, something else goes wrong. Oh, something else goes wrong. And he tells them that they cannot expect the unfruitful seasons to come to an end if, however, they will only continue the good work which they have on this very day begun, they may confidently look forward to receive Yahweh's blessing. So do the work, you'll be blessed. We see this all the time, don't we? You know, God tells us to do something, we obey, we are blessed. It's what we always call this covenant. It's a two-way contract. The fourth one is the end of chapter 2, an encouragement addressed on the same day to Zerubbabel personally. He is singled out as a representative of the Davidic dynasty and therefore the object of their patriotic hopes. Zerubbabel is assured by Haggai that in the approaching overthrow of heathen powers, his position will remain unshaken and he will be made Yahweh's honoured and trusted deputy. So the people go from one of total apathy, doing nothing but grieving over the destroyed temple, to full of vigour and probably a renewed faith to rebuild the temple, place of worship, a place of fellowship with God, and everything will be fine. Wonderful. And remember the main message of Haggai: God is with them, God is with us.